It's the Thursday Movie Review. This is Geoff Hopkins. If you want to go and sit in a dark room for a couple of hours with one of the new films at the cinema, I know a man who can help. His name is Mark Searby. He's a broadcaster, author and film critic. Hello to you.
Hello.
So, we have a revisiting of an old Clint Eastwood movie out at the cinema this week, which we'll come to in a second, but we'll start with a new animation from the people behind Cars and Cars 2. Yes, it is Cars 3. For me, Cars 2, a bit of a disappointment after a rip-roaring start. So a third movie. I've seen the trailer. Is this the end of the road for Lightning McQueen?
Oh, that's a brilliant pun.
Thank you. That is a really good pun.
Well done on that one. Yes, yeah. Yes, much like you. Saw the first trailer when it came out. Very dark in tone. I mean, it wasn't the jokey laugh fest that Cars 1 and 2 were, really. And then Disney made that statement that said the film wasn't going to be like this. It was just the way that the trailer was cut. Well, the film actually is still quite dark in tone. I mean, the story follows Lightning McQueen again. He sets out to prove to a new generation of racers that he's still the best race car in the world. There's a lot of talking in this, and mainly it's about how Lightning is the old guy on the block, and isn't it time he retired? You know, it's got this underlying tone about being put out to pasture, so to speak, which when you consider that this is meant to be an upbeat kids film, does seem rather depressive. There's also a subplot about a shady team owner who wants to sponsor Lightning when in fact he wants him to lose so he can sell more mud flaps and hubcaps. I mean, these two stories never sat right with me, and I'm thinking they're a little bit too dark for small children, and as such they could be bored by how dull the film is. And I think it's fair to say that Cars 3 seems to forget at times that it is a kids film first and foremost. Fortunately, the racing scenes are still pretty cool. There's lots of high speed races roaring around tracks and some equally cool flips and jumps. So if you enjoyed the racing of the first two films, then there's more of the same on offer here. It doesn't up the ante, so to speak. Instead, it keeps it at the same pace and enjoyment level. My one slight quibble with the racing is that possibly we needed a few more races. There are moments where Lightning and the team go back to basics and are racing on these tiny little speedways against the locals. I mean, that's fun, but it could have done with a bit more racing on the whole, to be honest. And the, you know, that ties into the one thing that I couldn't shake while watching Cars 3, and that's how similar the storyline is to Rocky 4. You know, Lightning, aka Rocky Balboa, he's the champ, but all of a sudden we've got this new challenger coming along who's harder, better, faster and stronger because of new technology, and the original hero is left behind because of his reluctance to upgrade and let change happen. I mean, the underlying message is that change is good for everybody, but I think sadly Cars 3 seems intent on pushing the message rather than just having some good old-fashioned fun like it did in the previous films.
10 points if you spotted the Daft Punk reference in there as well. What a mark. I do wonder, actually, having heard you speak about this, have they maybe made a film for the fans of the original films at the expense of anyone new coming in as at the age that the original people who saw it the first time round would have been? If that makes sense.
Do you know what? It's a good point. They possibly have, because obviously those who were enjoying the first Cars film all those years ago have grown up a bit more now. So they probably want something that's a little bit more darker in tone, you know, something that is close to the darkness of tone that you see with like some of the superhero movies, which they're probably watching now. So maybe that's it. But, you know, Cars is just about having fun. That's the whole point of it. And this one, I don't think it's got that in it.
Okay, Cars 3, new at cinemas from tomorrow. Change of tack completely. We are revisiting an old Clint Eastwood movie, a period drama set during the American Civil War. We have The Beguiled.
Yeah, it's based on the book by Thomas Cullinan. It's not actually a remake as such of the Clint Eastwood version. What's happened here is Sofia Coppola, who's the director and daughter of Francis Ford Coppola, who made The Godfather, has sort of opted to turn the tables and tell the story from the viewpoint of the females. It's set during the American Civil War, where the young women of an all-girls school take in a wounded Union soldier. Soon the house is overrun with sexual tension, rivalries, and shocking events. The change that Coppola has done here is a very astute change, and one that I think works all the better for it. These women know very little about the men of the outside world, so when Corporal Jack McBurney is brought into the house to tend to his wounds, the women all become shocked, and then soon Corporal McBurney starts to get better. You can feel the sexual tension rising in the place. I mean, each of these women try to impress Jack one way or another, and suddenly they're opened up to this whole new world that has never been there before. I mean, it doesn't help that Corporal McBurney plays each of them off against the other, but it doesn't stop the women. Instead, they all see it as a challenge. And there's a sort of an unspoken challenge to seduce Jack and in turn be able to get one up on the other females. I mean, it is a searing period piece and one that gets more intense as the storyline unfolds. A finale that, honestly, it just left me breathless. And for all the sexual tension, it's funny in a dark way as well. I mean, there's a scene at the dinner table where each of the women try to explain to Jack how they contributed to the meal he's enjoying. There's lots of little light comedic moments scattered throughout the film, and it nicely breaks up the tension and gives cause to breathe for a moment. And I like that Coppola found a way to create a film that is a story about sexual desires and yet made it funny in places as well. And that's a tough trick to pull off, yet she's done it splendidly here, and more praise must go for her cast as well. Every single actor in this film is perfect for each role. Colin Farrell as Corporal McBurney, to Nicole Kidman as the headmistress, to Kirsten Dunst as the teacher, to Elle Fanning as the teenage tease of the film. And there could not have been a better cast for this film. And there's only 11 people in it. And the great thing is, the question that comes from the film is, who is the beguiled? And that's another plus point, because it's so open to interpretation. It is a stunning film that just lingers long after you've left the cinema. I really can't shake it, and I saw it 2 weeks ago.
The Beguiled, it is new at cinemas this weekend. DVD pick for the weekend, if you want to sit down at home. It's a bowing out for Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart in the X-Men films. Logan was out of cinemas earlier this year, I think it was. I've been working my way through the entire movie franchise over the last few weekends. And even just from one weekend to the next, I completely forget who everyone is and how they all fit together. So Logan, I think it's a little bit sad that we've seen the last of him now.
Yeah, possibly. The great thing about Logan is that it's the kind of the film we've all been waiting for, really. It's all about Logan. He doesn't care about the past. He doesn't care about the future. He really doesn't care about himself, to be honest. And that's something that we don't see in superhero movies, to be honest with you. You know, he's now a bearded alcoholic limo driver. We get to see an emotional and physical scars. And that's what we haven't seen before. And it's only when this young mutant turns up that Logan starts to change. Then we see this like surrogate father-daughter relationship start to happen. So then we get to see Logan with feelings, but it doesn't inhibit the character from being the rabid Wolverine that we've seen in previous films either. I mean, in fact, the film is so bloodthirsty that it is probably, I'm surprised that they got away with it just being a 15. I mean, Hugh Jackman and the director James Mangold both said they're upping the body count and aiming for something more adult. Well, they've done that here. It's one of the most unrelentingly gory comic book movies I've seen. You know, this is not watered down at all. And I think with this being the last for Hugh Jackman, he's gone out on top. But also, do keep an eye on first-time actress Daphne Keane as the young mutant. She is fantastic in this film. In fact, I think she kind of upstages Jackman along the way as well. But overall, Logan is the perfect example of how you make an exceptional character-driven comic book movie.
Logan, it is new on DVD this week. I think I know what we're going to be talking about next week, because we have a big Christopher Nolan film coming up, haven't we?
Hugely, hugely looking forward to Dunkirk. Can't wait to talk about it.
Mark, have a good weekend.
I will do. You too.
And we'll do more next Thursday on the Thursday Movie Review.